Tomorrow, I'll invent those blueprints. Tomorrow, I'll start.
What's going on, people? It's your boy, Corey. And my man, Mr. Kirk.
What's up?
And welcome back to Tomorrow. Ah, people, what will you do tomorrow? What will you do today to achieve your creative dreams? I'm Corey. That's Kirk. And we have a special, special guest in the house today. Jackie of Underpants and Overbites. How you doing, Jackie?
Hello.
Hello.
Pretty good.
Thanks for coming in today.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Being virtual and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like... Well, it just feels more welcoming. You're like, oh, thanks for coming in today. Like, you know, like we're actually all in the same space, but you know, pandemics and geographies and stuff. But yeah,
I was thinking more like you're the host at a restaurant. You're just welcoming people into the restaurant.
I did do that for like a little bit of time.
What are today's specials, Corey?
Come on, dude. I didn't have any off the top of the head, like you know, club sandwich or something like that. You know. Minestrone soup. I don't know. I don't even like worked at a restaurant like that. It was like a poke restaurant.
Okay.
That's it's pretty true. Tasty though. It's good. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. High grade sashimi grade fish. So, you know, if you're into that kind of thing. But
very classy. Yeah, so
yeah. That was another life. But yes, today, as you know, it's an interview episode, guys. We have our special guest. We're going to tell some things, some stuff. And, you know, we're going to learn something new, as always.
That's right.
Right, Mr. Kirk?
Yeah. Always learning.
Always learning. Every day. At least one thing.
Yes.
Maybe. Yes.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Possibly. Yeah. Both fingers. Bam. Anyways. Yeah. Sorry. But, Kirk, actually, you asked the first questions. My brain is still messed up from that show,
you're,
man.
You're still thinking, about, you're still thinking about minestrone soup?
A little bit. I don't even know what's in it, but, you know, here we are.
Here we are.
Need a green bean? Green bean or two?
Ooh. Oh. That's not too bad. I'm a plant-based man these days, so, you know, I welcome it. So, yeah, I like it.
You're a friend of the bean?
I'm a friend of the bean. become good friends now after Thanksgiving time when I gave up the meats.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to have my last chicken and waffles. Yeah. Sad to think about, but I'll probably eat it again. I'm not like gonna die if I just break my rules or whatever like that. But either way, this is not about cafe food or chicken and waffles, even though I love chicken and waffles. Try it sometime. It's about the underpants and the overbites.
That's correct.
Guys.
So we've caught a lot of flack recently over pronouncements about Donuts Delight being the best donuts in Rochester. So I feel obligated to ask you what you believe are the best donuts in Rochester.
Ooh.
You know, I'm not a huge donut person, but fair. I know Pat is. Pat, my husband Pat is like a mega donut fan. He's actually right behind me. Let me ask him real quick.
Yeah, dude.
Okay. Exciting. What's your favorite donut place in Rochester?
Ridge Road.
Okay, that's what we keep getting told.
Best.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. That's what he said.
I've tried any of these places.
Well, and it's got that like that logo, that like purple sassy donut.
That thing, you know.
I guess if I had to pick, I'd vote for that donut. It's like the donut hole part is also the mouth, and it's something to dissect visually. You got to look up Ridge Donut.
I'm gonna have to do this. I'm not gonna do it right now because you know we're doing this, but like afterwards for sure. That's the first thing.
You said Donuts Delight is the best one.
That's what I mean. I haven't had Ridge Donut, so that was my default. And after talking to a couple of people. I got some angry texts from a few people saying,
"Oh
that,
boy,
what the hell is wrong with you? Have you never been to Ridge Donut?" And I'm like, I'm sorry, I have not. I haven't lived in Rochester in a long time. So,
wait, is this in response to just like us saying it maybe like once or twice on the show before?
Mm-hmm.
Really? So that's what to get you guys going? Like, we got to talk about what the best donuts in Rochester.
Yeah, it generated a lot of controversy.
Hey, keep doing it. If people are talking about it, then you know,
that's right.
Why not?
Yeah. Corey's got a donut problem. That's why I bring it up. Just, yeah, he has a serious
I'm addicted.
Yeah, he has a serious addiction.
I think Pat could relate to that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's also like a little dangerous working, you know, in a school because there's it's abundant with cupcakes and donuts and and then
it's a problem.
Yeah. Well, when I worked at a coffee shop, it was a problem. Oh, no. There was just like you know, croissant for breakfast every day.
What's wrong with that?
Just keep breaking, you know. You're like, oh, another broken cookie. Gotta eat it.
That's right.
People won't buy this. I mean, no. I'll just eat it. It's fine.
Quality. Someone's been poking a hole in it, and then you just have to eat it.
you're just picking chocolate chips off.
It's quality control.
Yeah, these are bad too. I don't know. I guess I'll just eat them. I mean, hate for them to go to waste, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, I mean, I understand a pastry addiction. It's just a part of life at this point. Like, I'm gonna break. Like my brother bought like vegan donuts from Whole Foods, like a little plastic container of them and all that stuff, like donut holes. And he's just like, oh, I got these for us to share. And I was just like, yeah, cool. And like, I had like two, because I was pulling out the driveway and he just brought them over to me. So I'm just like, all right, I'll have like two. He's like, oh, yeah, two. And I'm like, later that day, I literally ate all of them. Like, I ate most, like, just, I just go downstairs, eat some, go back upstairs, go back downstairs, eat a couple more. There's still like a fair amount in there. And then it's just gone by like the next day. And he's just like, oh, I bought these for everybody. I'm like, you know, I'm addicted to donuts. Like, why would you do this?
You brought these into the house. How dare you?
I mean, I was thankful for it. I didn't say how dare you. It's just like, you know who I am. I will eat the donuts, like, if they're there. So, you know, I have no self-control around that. But either way, we're not here for donuts.
We're not.
Get me off task.
Oh, no, I figured I would start with that so you don't circle around to it later. I was trying to hedge you off at the pass.
Oh, smart. Okay, you're learning.
I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, you fooled me right there. I did. Totally believing it. And then you, okay. Well, next time, just so you know, it works. So you can fool me into it. Anyways, enough of our foolishness.
Exactly.
You've been doing this for too long now.
And more than patient with our foolishness. But Jackie, you had a book come out last week on the 13th, correct?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm supremely jealous and because I'm a nerd. And, but what is that like? I mean, like, it's kind of a dumb question, but what is it like to see something that you've worked so hard on in print?
Yeah.
It almost like doesn't even register. Mm-hmm. Like, my dad sent me a text of my book at like Barnes and Noble, and he was like, look, I saw your book. And I was like, wow, weird. And it,
what's it doing there?
Yeah. Like, dad, did you put it there? What have you been up to?
Why'd you put your copy on the shelf, dad?
Sneaking my books into the bookstore again and taking pictures.
That's right.
Of people.
Well, there's a couple copies on the shelf. They got more in the back? What are you talking about?
Yeah, what is this? It's like only three left. And I was like, I bet they're just tricking you into only three left. But no, I mean, it's kind of surreal, but it's also like, it didn't happen overnight. So I'm a little bit more like, I think if I had like graduated art school and then someone was like, hey, here's a book, I'd be like, I think my head would like explode. But instead, I self-published a couple books. I have like a whole email folder of things I get rejected from. And then I just like pile it up. And then after a while, the more rejections I got, the more I'd be like, I get to put one in my folder. And so then have it not be rejected. I'm like, wow, you know, cool. But sometimes I try to like pretend I'm someone else. And then I think about that person, and then I'm like, that book's pretty cool. But for myself, it's a journey of recognizing my value in any capacity. So it's more just like, oh, book. All right, like, still got to make dinner, so whatever.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair.
And it's pretty like, it's honestly pretty uneventful. I mean, it's COVID, so there isn't a lot of like in-person excitement around it. I did some online book release events, which was fun, but I really like when someone's like can I buy you, you know, a snack after? And I'm like, sure. And then I just hang out with someone. But the day of the book coming out was like, well, okay. And I just pour myself a glass of water and go for a walk. And
right. Yeah, yeah.
It's not like a big pile of confetti lands
right.
in the driveway.
Like every time, it's like, you just gotta sweep it up afterwards, you know?
Or a giant pile of money.
Yeah.
Wait, there's no Scrooge McDuck moment?
God, just dive into a whole thing of like gold coins and all that.
I'm starting to realize like why adults always complained about taxes when I was a kid. Mm. You know,
oh, like, God.
LOL taxes, and then now I'm like. My uncle's actually like a retired accountant, and he's helping me correct all my inadvertent tax crimes. And now I'm like, whoa, man, this is pretty bad.
Yeah. You're like, I had no idea.
There's like the, oh my gosh, a book. And it's like, you have no idea the kind of paperwork I've gotten in the mail. And I've had to fill out to New York State.
Oh boy,
those tall envelopes. You're like, what else is in here?
Is this a congratulations from the Department of Revenue? They heard about my book.
Oh yes, I'll open this promptly. Oh boy, I stuffed them back.
Oh, that's so sweet of them. I got like a bill in the mail for 26 cents, and it was like, if you don't pay it immediately, you'll be fined. And I was like.
You're like, I'm sure I got some time on it. Then they just swat your house.
just put a quarter and a penny in the envelope and send it back. There you go.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, drawing my character in one of my own books, and then my window gets like kicked in.
Guys with like black tactical suits, just like, what is happening?
I'm like, you're
like, oh, they're for real about that.
We're here for the 26 cents.
Now.
Oh my god,
good lord. Yeah, but it's interesting that, like, you know, like you said, the book comes out and all that stuff, especially in this day and age that we're in, and you know, it feels like this kind of drop in the water. It's like, that's it, because there's so many, you know, so much going on, and you know, it's not this kind of in-person thing. Like, it's not this like, oh my god, like a the book, like, oh, you got people coming up to you and all that stuff. It's just, you know, we're through screens. Mm-hmm. It's like everything just kind of gets lost in the, oh, you see it here, and then it's like you can click on new posts, or it just kind of updates, and then it's like, oh, you know, it's just kind of we're inundated with just so much content all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of gets hard to unless someone is really, really following along and like you know, keeping up with you know, the updates that you have, and because I've seen like, you know, oh, 1 week, like a couple, you know, 3 days, like, you know, all that stuff that, you know, gets lost a little bit, but it's still, I mean, it's exciting. You have a book, you have books out, like, that's amazing. Like, yeah. It's awesome, you know, people do it all the time, but it's just like, you know, it's still a little magical, though. Come on, it's still a little magical, you have to admit. Come on. Yeah, there we go.
I mean, it's totally magical, and it's like, it's really magical that like people can buy it. You know, I can sell through my store, but also they can buy it if they're in other countries, because that international shipping is like so bad. So it is magical that someone's like, I saw it in a bookstore in the UK, and I'm like, what? Like, how did that get there? Who put that there? But yeah, there's just so much going on with social media, and like. You know, there's just fragments of everything, even my music. I'm just like, I start a playlist, I like abandon it. And then I remember at one point I was like, I'm going to delete all these accounts. And now I just feel like I'm like surfing on like a wave of digital debris. And I'm like, whatever, man, this Google Drive's a hot mess. I didn't even remember like signing up for this, you know, online tutorial or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I get emails and I'm just like, it's okay. It's fine. Like, I can't keep up with anything. And I've used that to like, sometimes I feel a pressure to put stuff on the internet. And like last week I didn't make any comics because I was getting my books out. And then I'm like, oh no, the world will forget about me. And then I'm like, I haven't forgotten about Neil Gaiman. I haven't heard from him in a while. Like, he's cool. Not that we're on the same tier, you know, but
I mean, it sounds like it just for like a second there. Yeah.
But you know, like I can like relax.
Neil and I.
Yeah, me and Neil, man.
Sometimes we grab lunch, sometimes we don't. It's okay. Right. Not a big deal.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, I don't listen to his books while I fall asleep or anything. I mean, we're cool. I didn't take his master class and write down every single sentence that he said.
Yeah, but looks like he's still doing well.
Jesus. How was that master class? Because I've been tempted.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome.
I'll have to check it out.
It was like, you want my password? I'll send you my password.
No.
Hey, man, password's better.
Oh, my God.
Get it out. Come on.
I'm trying.
All right. Don't hurt yourself.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, and you kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, was like you had posted a comic, I guess, not last week, but the week previous, that really kind of stuck with me, and it was the deciding to become an artist and like all of the steps to deciding to become an artist and what you like to, what to actually do. And I feel like you touched on this a little bit, but there wasn't an aha moment, was there? Or was it more of like that slow progression, even to the point where like, I want to do this. Like, I want to be an artist. Now I need to make, you know, all of the mistakes that get me to, I need to sit down and make art.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely wasn't one moment. I think that would be like, it's kind of like impossible. Or even when people are like, this is your big break. And it's like, no, like your big break is kind of like being able to respond to emails in a timely way. And then building up to working with someone and they're happy to work with you. And then you got to send the Dropbox file and then it's corrupted and you got to send it again. Like there's no one moment, but like my own personal journey with art was like, when I was a kid, I didn't really think about making comics. I just drew a lot of silly stuff. And then in high school, I was just never like the artist that people worshiped. Like I just made like toast, dancing with a jar of jelly or whatever, and people are like, okay, it's whatever, his kid's still getting tucked in at 17, so. And then in art school, who doesn't love a good tuck in?
I'll do it, like whatever, it's fine. I like that. Like
even now I'll be like, yeah. Pat, yoo-hoo, I'm ready.
Shows that someone cares about you enough to feel like to bring those covers up to your chin, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I like to kind of exploit someone's generosity and be like, tuck the feet extra tight. Makes me feel special.
This used to be a kind gesture.
It used to be, and then I'm like, hey, I forgot my water bottle and my book, and then they bring it to me, and then like 10 minutes later I like get up out of bed.
just everything.
It's really just control, I think.
Yeah. I'd say so.
I was a kid who liked art, and then when I went to college, which was just like, you go to college, that's the place I came from, and then they were like, what do you want to do in college? And then I was just kind of burned out on all the high school subjects, and I didn't know other jobs existed, like communications or something. I was like, what? I thought you could only do like math, history, or science or art. And so I was like, I guess art's cool. So then I went to art school, and then I picked illustration because I don't know, they said storytelling, but like I never thought about, oh, I want to tell stories, I want to do anything. All I did was like write furiously in a diary for years complaining about things. And then I was like a really mediocre employee who's kind of mad at stuff, and like I never wanted to work in a cubicle, and I made art about like these lumps that worked in a cubicle, and then I just like never even worked in a cubicle, like just like that. I don't know, I was like an early 20s little brat that's like, adults stink, I'm gonna live forever. And then which did pay off to some extent, because to answer your question, I always worked part-time because I always wanted to like make art. Like after art school, I was like, oh, I want to be an artist. I want to make art. I see what's happening. And like, I didn't want to work full time because I'd be too tired. And then I didn't want to work as an art career because I felt like there was a lot of like people would tell me what to do. And I always just wanted to make what I wanted to make. But the aha moment was probably like after art school, I moved to Austin and then just kind of like was a hot mess and had a lot of fun and was just trying to make art and had a few magazine gigs here and there. Like one was, it was like for safe sex. So I drew like two condoms crossing the road together and, the magazine was like, ways. We love it. <That's> And I was like, yeah, this is fun. You know, so that part was fun, but I just like didn't really have the confidence or the email capacity or whatever. I just like quit a bunch of jobs to go road tripping and bummed like food off my relatives. But when I moved to Rochester, maybe like 7 years ago, I did have a moment where I was like, okay, I'm going to draw for 15 hours a week, no matter what. And then I just did that for probably like a year of mm-hmm. just drawing for 15 hours a week, because I realized like that was kind of what was missing was this disconnect between what I wanted to make and then what I was actually making. And so I found like a loophole, which was like, if you just draw for 15 hours, you're great. You're a great person. Even if I'm drawing like, you know, poop with like flies circling it and then writing Rochester with bubble letters. Like if you do that enough times, you get bored enough to create new stuff. And, and then eventually I found, I read some diary comics, like graphic novels. And then that was an aha moment where I was like, I got to do this with my life. Like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And then from there, just kind of all just time and practice and a lot of learning and failing and just, I don't know. It's kind of cool to.
Yeah. No, I like that. Sorry.
I didn't have like a good ending.
No. That's
no, it was good.
Like, I think a lot of people, I don't know, maybe this is just me. I can't obviously speak for anybody else, but like, I feel like I got sold or I got convinced of that idea of that eureka moment where you jump out of the tub and everything makes sense. But the more we talk to people and the more like I do stuff, like I think it comes back to the old thing of like luck is opportunity meeting preparation, basically. And I feel like part of what it's not sexy because it's not that like lightning bolt in your brain. It's just work, like you were saying.
Yeah.
So how did you write 15 hours a week? Like, how did you come to that number?
Yeah. I'm actually curious about that as well.
I think I just not made like, it up.
I like it.
Just sound like a good number.
Maybe I worked like 25 hours a week at a coffee shop. And then I was like, oh, if I do 15 hours a week, then it's a full-time job or something. But I also read like maybe Malcolm Gladwell's book about 10,000 hours makes you an expert. And then I was like, I'm going to time myself and then see if Malcolm's right. And then I did it for like maybe a couple of years. And then eventually I was like, this timer's taking up too much time. So I don't need it anymore. But
I like it.
Yeah, I like that too.
I mean, it doesn't have to be 15 hours. I'm sure you could do.
No, I mean,
10 minutes a day.
I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, so I was thinking about that myself. Like, I've been trying to do an hour of writing every day, so maybe I need to change up my schedule a little bit. But I worked at a coffee shop for a while in the Hudson Valley, and I didn't know this for quite a while, but Malcolm Gladwell would come in on the weekends because he must have lived around there. And I was a big fan of like his crazy ass podcast, stuff like that. And one day the owner of the store was like, do you know who you just rang out? And I was like, no. And she goes, that was Malcolm Gladwell. And I hid behind the espresso machine. And that was, you know, I'm crouching behind the espresso machine, like there's no, you can't ever tell anyone or you can't deny to yourself that you're not a nerd. Like at this, you're fangirling over Malcolm Gladwell. Like this is it. There's no hope for you anymore.
That's what you did.
Yeah.
When no one was watching.
Yeah, after he left.
But we all knew.
Yeah. I mean, because we'd have there all sorts of people came through there because it was on the Amtrak line from New York City. So like Ben Folds would roll through there all the time and it's just like, okay, it's Ben Folds. Like, I've, you know, whatever. But just Malcolm Gladwell, it's like,
oh my God.
Yeah. Thank God I wasn't there at the time. What the hell is his name? H. John Benjamin came in. I probably would have reacted the same way to see, like, it's Bob and Archer and the can of beans from, yeah.
So I do like that guy.
I do too. Changing gears a little bit. So you went on a solo trip to Japan. That was a couple of years ago, right?
I did. Yeah. Well, I went with, it was amazing, but I went with Pat to, our friends were getting married in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And so we went to Hong Kong and then he's a teacher. So we had to go back to work. And I was like, I mean, while I'm over here, I think I'm just going to go to Japan. And he was like, but I've always wanted to go to Japan. And I was like, yep, take you next time. See ya. And so, yeah, I went and it was like maybe the best week of my life. Like,
that sounds amazing.
Sorry, Pat. He could probably still hear me. He's back there. Yeah. But, yeah, well, and I made a comic telling people I was coming to Japan. And so then people in Japan were like, hey, like, I'll hang out with you. And then the first night I got into Narita Airport and then a stranger and now my friend Naomi picked me up. And then she was like, hey, my husband gets free ice cream. We saved you a freezer full. And I was like, you do know me.
That's so cool.
They showed me around town and then I went and stayed in Tokyo and met up with like my friend Jemmy. And then she showed me all around. And I mean, these were just like strangers, but it was really cool. Cause Japan's like,
awesome.
Japan's a really, I don't know, just like unique, beautiful place. And my favorite day ever was like, I was in Kyoto and it was also wild to hear the accents on different words because I'm always like Tokyo and it was like Tokyo and I was like, what? Like, are you crazy? Like Rochester and the Japanese language, they are at odds with how you think things are pronounced. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, one day I was at the end of my trip, I stayed by myself. And that was good because then I'd like kind of gotten my bearings on some of the cultural things where it was really helpful at first to have people that live there be like, okay, this is what that is. Oh, here's a vending machine where you can get hot soup. And I'm like, cool. And, but one day I like hiked up a mountain and then I was in like it's an onsen. It's like a bathhouse just in the middle of the woods on the top of a mountain as like the sun went down. Super. And then I took a train down and then this mom and her daughter were sharing my like ryokan. And it's like the kind of papery hut thing that's in the anime movies that you love probably. And they made me dinner and it was like so fun. And they were from China and we couldn't speak the same language, but we had a great time.
It's always good though, right?
I'll tell you though, those paper houses are a little noisy. So
yeah, I could definitely imagine that.
But it came with like flip-flops that were made out of wood, and I was like, this is so cool. Before the pandemic was like, I'm gonna go somewhere new every year and stay with strangers. And then the pandemic happened and I was like,
you're like, oh, maybe in a couple of years.
Yeah. Well,
you get to plan it now, right? You get to plan out where you want to go. So,
yeah,
I think there's a lot of that stuff still going on, though. I guess it just depends on how whatever place you want to go is handling things. Because I've seen a few people who are still like traveling in South America, and I don't know. I guess it just depends on the country.
Oh yeah, I'm just gonna lie low, you know. But right now, my destination is like the woods. So it's almost woods season.
You want to do like one of those treehouse kind of things?
Oh, I just camp a lot in the woods. And like the first week that Pat goes back to school, I go to the woods for a week alone. And then he's like, you know, drowning under construction paper. And then I'm just like, maybe I'll rent a canoe today.
Go out on the water and sip some coffee. while he's grading papers and stuff like that. Uh-huh. Projects.
Trying to decipher first grade handwriting and like this is a dinosaur?
See if the clay is like still moist enough to mold into something.
Mm-hmm. Wash all the boogers out of your clothes and all those.
Oh God.
Ugh. Dude, that's why
I couldn't do that.
That's why I can't do the little kids, man. They just come and they touch you and they smear things on you. And
there's just something about boogers. Like, no.
I got a good story. When I was in second grade, there's like
a booger story.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's,
I mean, you basically know the punchline. But I was sitting listening to the teacher read a book, and then you remember how they used to like use masking tape to tape off your reading area, maybe on the carpet, and there was something on the masking tape, and I ate it, and then after I ate it, I was like, oh, that was a booger, and that was like second grade. So I ate someone else's booger.
See, I can confidently say, and people, I have been accused of lying about this, but I can confidently say I've never intentionally eaten a booger.
No,
I didn't intend to. I just
that's
knew
fair. That's
booger
fair.
After it was too late.
Yeah, I guess it's really the only way to make that discovery, right?
I don't know what I thought it was though. To be
honest. For a second though, I was just like, what did it taste like? And I was just like, no, I know what that tastes like because I am a human being.
Like, at some point.
It tastes like it's probably got its own special.
But when it's flavor. Somebody else's, it's like, oh, it's just weird to think about.
Same flavor, you know.
Yeah, I guess.
Just imported.
That's right. Yeah, I can't imagine there's a lot of variation in that one. I like it. Yep.
No, there's not.
You had standards. You're like, I'm not going too close to home with this one. I'm gonna dine out when it comes to boogers.
Yeah, I'm not gonna eat my own booger. I'm too fancy for that.
That's not even.
Oh boy.
Oh Lord. Yeah. Jeez. Okay, but I have to know this now. This was my question. Where did
Stop tapping on your desk, you dingus.
I know. I forget sometimes. All right. Where did underpants over bites come from? Why was that like the boom? This is it. I mean, that's a really good combination too. I was just like, damn. I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, yo, I gotta get some tricky, some good titles up there like that. But yeah, why that combination? What was the inspiration, the spark for that?
Okay, so that was like an aha moment. And when Pat and I first moved to Rochester, we lived in this house with like a bunch of people. We actually lived in the dining room and they just put up a wall, and like, you know, at 2 a.m, someone would like drunk fry like bologna and then I'd have weird dreams. But we were in our dining room bedroom and I was like, I'm going to make a comic and I got to like think of what to name it. And then the characters I used to draw, I used to call them lumps. And then I had like office lumps. And then I was like, I don't think everyone's going to get the lump concept, you know, so I might have to branch out. But I love hyperbole and a half. So I wanted the and in there. And I was like, yeah, and that's cool. And then I just wrote like maybe 10 different ideas. And I was like, Pat, how about underpants and overbites? And he was like, that's terrible. And then I worked on it for like another hour and then I was like, nope, that's the one. And then I just like checked Gmail and it was available and I was like, sweet. And so it was just called Underpants and Overbites. But I think I just wanted it. I like the wordplay and that's it. And then my Twitter is like Underpants and, but everyone thinks it's Underpants Sand. So followers ain't going up over there, let me tell you.
That'd be a very, I feel like it's a very specific audience that would appreciate it. And
yeah,
not the audience you want. Yeah,
niche right there. Uh-huh.
I mean,
Oh boy. They really gotta expand like how long you can make your names on Twitter.
Right?
They're cutting out the good stuff, obviously, you know. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not, you know, depending on who you are. If you're into underpants sand, then, you know, that's your thing. But
I mean, I even capitalized the A. Come on, I'm trying to like differentiate, right. But
yeah,
it's too late.
Like, no.
Maybe the true devotee is like, she's trying to camouflage what this is really about. So, you know, to weed out the non-discerning clientele, but yeah, underpants.
I was checking through the page and all that, and one of the ones I enjoy very much are the one with the ants. You know, I didn't have, you know, we had ants, not like an ant farm, but like they just lived in our house. And I'm like, yeah, that's my house too. Yep. Not saying like we were gross or anything. It's just like, you know, it's food, ants, they just come in. Like, that's what they do. They're just like, oh. Like, one is just like, hey, guys, like, you know, they're like, all right, you know, they just come on in, they start eating your cheese and your sugar and all that stuff. And, yeah, and I like that. I was, you know, I had my special treat, like, it's all mine, I was going to hide it, but it's like, you know, but the ants are still in the house. Like, they're going to find it. I like that a lot. It's just like, it's the fact that it can, like, it's your own, like, kind of personal thing, like, story and all that stuff, but it can relate to other people, too. That's like, oh, I had ants, too. Like, you know, not an ant farm, but, you know, we had ants.
Yep. Oh, I think that's the cool thing about it. Some people have told me, like, they haven't thought about things until they read my comic, and then they're like, oh, that happened to me when I was a kid. I just, like, forgot completely.
That's one of the things I really enjoy about it. It has, like, I was thinking about this today. When I read it, it reminds me of Calvin and Hobbes in a lot of ways. Not the, like, it's almost not the content as much as it's the feeling I get from reading your comics. It makes me think of like how I felt when I was a kid and first discovered Calvin and Hobbes, and that kind of like the way that you can relate to some of the things that he thinks and some of the things that they do, as opposed to, you know, the what's going on. But I don't know. I've enjoyed it ever since you know, Shelby over at Little Button showed me some of your work that day. Like, yeah, I like this. Like, this is especially, I don't know, one of the things that sticks out for me always is the narrowed eyes, like the skeptical eyes, or the that always gets me.
Yeah.
I always make the face of the character that I'm drawing, like in real life, and then when I do the narrow eyes, I'm like,
yeah.
And when she's smiling.
I picture like sometimes, you know, somebody, especially like my girlfriend, gets me to do something that the trick face, just like, you got me, damn it.
Totally.
I just see it in my head. But so, camping, is it like, do you go camping solely because you enjoy camping, or is it more of like, I need to declutter my brain a little bit?
I mean, definitely that. There's nothing really better than, to me, just being in the woods. Like, as soon as I'm in the woods, I'm like before I make it on a camping trip, I'm always like, okay, I gotta finish this like email, and I gotta make sure this is all set up, and then, you know, I can't finish because I have to like get there before the sun sets or whatever, and I'm like, okay, I just gotta go. And then when I get back from camping, I'm like, whatever, man, like, what's it even mean? And so I think that perspective is like really helpful in a job that's so hooked up to social media. And I don't know, like, popularity to some extent, and this like feeling that I need to be sharing things about myself, and that and then also my own personal issues with like not being good enough. And then when I camp, I'm just like, man, look at that. Look at that squirrel. Really going for that nut. Pretty good, huh? And it just feels like there's no better place I could possibly be, which is, and it's like super cheap.
Right.
So, like, I can always have $18 worth of fun when I paid for a campsite instead of, I don't know if I could, you know, justify that with certain events where I'm like, is this concert really like that good?
Yeah.
This cost me a lot of money.
I get you. I got
it's
to
kind of, oh
Sorry. I got to go camping last weekend with my friend Scott. It had been a while since I'd been out in the woods or out anywhere that was semi-wild, and yeah, it was amazing how quickly it's like, I don't care about anything that lives in my phone right now, and this is a very cool rock that I just saw on the ground, and I'm going to pick it up and carry it. But that's a better rock, so I'm going to put this one down and pick up that rock, and that's a lizard. And yeah, it's just, I guess I had forgotten how good that feels to not have electrical or non-brain electrical impulses going through your skull every 2 seconds.
Yeah.
It's the best.
I was going to say that it's like you're outside of time when you're kind of like out in nature, when you just get to like just be away from, you know, all the lights and the cars and the, you know, and the cell phones and all that stuff. It's just like you are just, it's just quiet, just nature, just, you know, the sky is just, oh wow, look at that blue. Like, you know, there's a dragonfly like flying by. Like, you know, it's like you realize that we have been conditioned to make the things that we do seem like, oh my god, they matter so much that we're doing this and doing that, and like but it's like life is still happening outside of that, like, yeah, you know, just the actual natural life is still happening outside of that. And the fact that we can kind of just take some time to divorce ourselves from that busy life and just be like, I'm just gonna enjoy myself and enjoy this time that I set aside, like, you know, even though it is, you know, time that you set aside, you know, you have to come back, it's still something that you can just enjoy because you're not busy, you're not worried, you're not stressed, you're just having fun.
Totally. And I think it helps me keep in perspective, like, what my job is, why I have my job, you know, is my job so I can like constantly refresh my email, or is it so that it can afford me the time to go explore? And same with like hanging out with the family and friends and stuff. It's like, what is the most important part of my life? Like, I don't know. I think it all kind of, I can't just make art in a vacuum. It all influences it, but camping more than anything helps me just turn the old brain off.
Yeah.
It's a joy. I'm definitely looking forward to getting out there. I was just thinking about that today. It's like, I just went camping last week, and I'm like, I'm going to call Scott. Maybe we can go camping next weekend. Like,
I got like, I was like really depressed in October. So then I just booked my whole summer. But like, because I booked it so far in advance, I'd be like, I think I'm going to camp on the tip of this island. And then now, like, I'm sure everyone's like, who booked that? And I'm like, that was me 6 months ago.
Yeah. Forward thinker.
Yes.
It's called being proactive, guys.
Well, yeah. Afterwards, I was like, Pat, look, we're going to camp here on this island, and then we're going to go over here. And he was like, okay, cool. I'm like, you don't get it. I Google image, like, aerial viewed this campsite. It's perfect.
That's right.
I've been preparing for this for some time now. We are going to enjoy ourselves. It's like, come. He's like, all right, your bags are already packed.
He's like, okay, but I have to work for 2 more months.
Yeah, I might need those clothes. He's like, no.
Good. No, those clothes belong to the camp now.
Camping is a magical thing, though.
It is. Yeah, we're gonna have to drag you. You're gonna have to get up here for the summer at some point, Corey, and we'll
go. Oh, dude, I camped with Nick like almost a year and a half ago now. I can't believe so much time has passed. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, like the whole time I was in Colorado with him, it was like me, him, and our friend Meg. Like every day, there's some sort of danger or like just creature or something, or like just not enough oxygen. Like it's insane. Like I was like, all right, enough nature. Like I need to get back to my receptionist job.
Not enough at the time.
It was good. It was like, it was really beautiful. Cause I love me some Colorado. Like it is beautiful out there. Like that, if there was a place for me to move next or whatever, it'd probably be Colorado and all that stuff. It's just like, you know, you go outside and it's just beautiful everywhere. It's crazy. But yeah, it was a good balance of like, this is great. And like, I almost died.
Yeah.
At the same time.
That's one wild thing about nature is like, it can feel kill you. Where like
straight up,
like a hike, and you're like, I didn't bring any snacks or water. Like I actually have needs. I have.
You're like, wow, I'm pretty hungry right now. Can't just go to the fridge.
Yeah, and it's like shocking. It's like if I could walk off that ravine and I
and just die,
or pay $25,000 to get helicoptered.
That's like, right.
Get that like, really burrowed up there.
Ooh, that's a nice cactus. Son of a bitch, that cactus is sharp.
Yeah, there were a couple times where I was just like looking over, and I'm just like, if I were to slip right now, that'd be my last vacation. Like, sorry, I'm not coming back to work. I'm dead. Like, you know, just
you call just, in dead.
Yeah, yeah.
That's your email away message.
Hey, is this Corey? No. Who is this? It's the Reaper. Oh. Corey didn't make it. He's calling out from work. It's just like, I don't think he's coming back. You might want to hire someone else. It's like, oh, shit. Okay. Damn, that sucks. But, you know.
That's your two-week notice?
Yeah, pretty much. Came a little early, but whatever. That's like the that's the beauty and the just the brutality of nature at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't care. It's just like, eh. Yeah, one less human.
That's right.
Lure you in with the beautiful sights, and then the crumbly rocks will, you know, end you. So
that's right.
Just be careful out there, guys. Just be careful out there.
And bring snacks.
That's right.
And bring snacks. Yes, you damn
seriously.
Right.
Yeah, you bring snacks, and always bring more water than you think you need.
That one got me because I'm like, oh my God, I get real hungry sometimes. It's like, if you're like 30 miles away from the car, like, you know, something crazy like that, it's just like, yeah, you're not going to eat. Like, mm-mm. Well, water is the most important part though. You're right, Mr. Kirk. That's
only because
more important food.
I've been dehydrated before, you know, you go hiking and they're like, oh shit, I got another mile to go and I'm not feeling great. And I've also taken people hiking and not brought enough water and they're dehydrated and then they're like, oh, this is not going well. This is a date that I probably should not have planned.
Turns from like, oh, this is cute to like, I don't know if we're gonna survive.
Yeah.
The sun's going down, Kirk. Yeah.
Yep.
We'll take shelter for the night. It's just like under this tree.
No.
Think about that fantasy too. If you were like, that's okay, I could spend a night out here. It's like you'd be so cold and like covered in bug bites and like you're somehow your lips would crack. Like
I feel like
8 hours.
Yeah. I feel like an animal would pee on me at some point because they're just like, this is pathetic, and just come over. Oh, yeah. Like a rabbit, not even anything large, just be
not even like an apex predator, or like, you know, something a little bit lower on the totem. Chipmunk.
Disdain for this. What is this soft, squishy pink thing that thinks it can survive out here? I'm going to pee on it and teach it a lesson.
But I have higher brain function. Why don't you have the right supplies for this trip?
Exactly. Chipmunk's just like, higher brain function, my ass.
Right.
Oh, man.
Later, loser. Takes off.
Yep. Oh man.
We're such interesting creatures. Just so smart, but so stupid at the same time. Especially me. But
so
yes.
I like to ask everybody this question just because I don't know, it amuses me. What is the worst piece of advice you've ever gotten in terms of, I mean, it could be anything or career oriented?
I think the worst piece of advice I ever got was from an illustration professor, and he said, you need to get a Winsor Newton Series 7 sable brush, and you just don't. You need to paint and figure it out. It's not the sable hairs that will make your career. So it seemed well-intentioned, but I also think some advice comes as like an obstacle course to prevent someone from getting to the truth of what actually matters to make art, because art's really hard to teach. So I think as a teacher, it's tempting to just be like, you need the right palette. You got to lay your colors out from warm to cool, and you need the right brush. And then you're like, yeah, but like, what do I make? And then they just, they've like flown out the window. Mm-hmm. Like the curtain is blowing.
Feathers.
Smoke bomb.
So just that. That's the, that was the only thing that came to mind. I mean, everything else I either can't remember or it didn't stick. But they were just so adamant about proper equipment. And it's like, there's just no right.
Right
way to do it.
I like that. And I think it's the, I almost wonder, like, I love writing. I suck at teaching writing. Like, it is the hardest thing that I find to do as a teacher. Like, I hated math as a kid because I didn't understand math. And that's now, it's my favorite thing to teach. But yeah, I avoid as much as possible teaching writing because I don't know how to teach the kids how to do it. Like, it's like, I just do these things because this is how I do them. And most of the time it's not right anyway. So don't do what I do. But I feel like in order to teach something, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Anyways. It's almost like you have to be a better teacher than you are at the actual thing you're teaching. If that makes sense. Because I feel like your natural talent might get in the way if you're teaching something that you're super good at, because there are things that you understand innately almost, or things that maybe you learned a long time ago and you don't understand how you learn them. You just do them.
Yeah.
And then it's hard to communicate to that to somebody who does not have that knowledge.
Yeah.
I think a part of it though, is like being afraid that you don't have the answer. And like,
that's true.
Like the teacher doesn't know why their stuff is good either. And then it's, I think it's comforting to pretend that a brush makes the difference instead of saying, I don't know. I'm only a razor's edge away from being terrible. And I couldn't tell you why, you know, I have to pretend to know how the world works. But I think some of the best teachers are the most uncertain people. And it's like, but it is really hard teaching art. 'Cause like I teach some comics classes and some of the students, it's like in the first draft, their work has like a lot of energy. And then somehow in the second draft, it just like disappears, or it's like overworking things. But a lot of it just comes from practice, which is like the most generic advice. But whenever I teach, I just say, you got to make stuff and just pretend there's a next time, because otherwise you won't get it done. So just think about 1,000 next times and then try to do it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry.
But yeah, it's it is like that. Like, oh, you have to have these certain supplies, and like I can see it from like a quality standpoint, but also like, oh, well, I got this brush, and it's worked for me for this many years, so it'll work for you too. Like, you know what I mean? But I think it's, you know, Kirk had said, you know, I think you need to be a better teacher than, or better at teaching the craft rather than like being so, I guess, involved in it. Because, you know, if you're creating in a vacuum, or if you're so obsessed with this, like, oh, you know, you could be amazing. But when you're trying to teach it and it's like, you're not able to connect with the individual in a way that helps them like learn and process what you're talking about, it's like, it's not gonna, you know, there's no connection there. Like, it's just like, they're gonna continue to struggle and all that stuff. And it's, personally, I think it's hard to be able to like, like, you know, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. Blah, blah. You just have to do it. You literally have to just like feel it out. And like for myself, like right now, like I know I have the skills, I got the ideas and all that stuff, but I'm kind of had pulled back a little bit because I'm like, I just need to restructure and rethink about, you know, what, how to do art. Sometimes, you know, it gets a little tricky. And so when you get to like sit down there and have that time to like really like kind of feel it out and all that stuff, and you're just like, it doesn't feel like it's forced, or it doesn't, you know, there's more energy to it, or, you know, like you were talking about, Jack, it's like, it's it's like, oh, well, it's not, it doesn't feel stagnant. Just doesn't feel like I'm just kind of putting lines down and all that stuff. Like it actually feels like there is, you know, a character there, or just like something that is coming from the, you know, your soul almost to like make this thing happen. So, you know, very difficult to teach art, but I think if you can, you know, be able to connect with people, individuals in a way, then you're going to be like, you can't say, oh, well, this student learns this way, so this student's going to learn this way too. It's like, no, it's like everyone's a little bit different, but also just like make some mistakes, like feel it out, like really just get loose with it and stuff, and just keep doing it. So yeah, and there's always going to be that next time, like you said, like, you know, I know I have a hard time with that, like thinking, oh, well, this is not going to be the end all be all piece, like you could always redraw this or do this in a different way, or like, you know, look at some reference material, or, you know, whatever, just kind of take a break from it and come back with a fresher mind. So
if it's the last sentence you're ever going to say, you better make it good, but then you're never going to finish.
That's very true.
I wonder, there's got to be somebody that's like spent their entire life trying to hone the perfect last words.
Oh God.
And then,
oh God.
That should be kind of a fun, but very stupid short story about somebody who spends so much time doing that. And then just like a brick falls on them out of the sky one day and that's it. They never get to.
And their last words, like they always try to say a sentence like that they'll, you know, that's like great last words. And then they die really unexpectedly. And their last words are just like, like poop. And then they just get like hit.
Exactly.
Have you guys heard of Linda Berry?
Mm-mm. I have not.
Oh, Linda Berry's like the coolest lady ever. And she's basically committed her whole life to, I mean, she's a comic artist, but she has this book called Syllabus. Maybe she has two books, a bunch of books. But basically, she's all about like your drawing and your drawing plays back. Like you're playing with your drawing and it's like responding to you. She teaches comics all the time. And I basically just bought her book and then I teach comics with her exercises. But they're like, you draw squiggles and then you turn it into a monster and then you draw the monster's life, like the monster as a baby and the monster at a funeral and the monster dancing with its true love. And it's just, I see the effect it has on students where it's like, it's so fun, you can't even overthink it. And I mean, the hard part is like, afterwards you're like, good luck. And then, you know, the class ends and you're like, oh no, now what do I make? But she's really obsessed with like play and looking to kids to see, you know, like around 8 years old, some of the kids decide they're not an artist anymore. And like all of her stuff is just incredible. And there's some interviews with her where, I don't know, she's just got really great perspectives on the artistic process in a way that's like, I was just taught very traditionally by highly skilled illustrators who didn't necessarily make good teachers, which is what we've been talking about. And she makes art that's like really messy, and then she'll show people her art and then they like look at her like they feel sorry for her because it's bad. But I also went through a phase where I painted like really high realistic portraits, and people were like, that's great, you know, you're a real artist. And some people do ask like, do you make any real art? And I just have a lot of questions around like, what, you know, what does that even mean? And I think it's all about just being able to express yourself, but it's so hard. And it's hard in a world with so much content too.
Yeah.
And like, it's so much easier for me to fantasize about having completed something than actually do it. Like, I'm like, this is going to be so great when it's done. after I run that marathon, I'm going to feel amazing. And I'm not even thinking about it. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I get that for sure. Sometimes it's like, you know, if working on a story and I know the ending, it's like, I already know the ending. I don't need to write this down. It's done. And then it's like, no. There's no mind printer. You need to actually put this down on the paper.
Totally.
Yeah. It's and that's interesting too. I feel like there's so much like weird politics with like art, where it's like, oh my God, if you do this super realistic thing, like you're an amazing artist. And it's like, it's amazing. It is. But at the same time, like time and observation can get most anybody like there, as long as you're like patient with it. It's like, yeah, you could make real realistic stuff, but it's like, you gotta want to put in that kind of work. But on the other hand, it's like style and just kind of somebody making their own like thing is like, oh, that is it's crazy to think about. It's representational of life, but it's just like a different way of looking at it. Like, oh wow, like I wouldn't have thought of making the eyes like that, or like, you know, like the lumps and all that stuff. Like, it's just like, you're people, you know what I mean? Like, it's I find it amazing, because I used to be, you know, somebody that had seen like a lot of like realistic stuff, or like I love like Greek art and Greek sculpture and all that stuff, and just like an anatomy, and it's like, oh my God, like, you know, comic books are like, whoa, like superheroes and stuff. But until you get to like see someone else's hand and like someone else's eye and how they like see one image and they turn it into something else, you're like, whoa, I've never thought that way before. I've never been able to either like simplify or like just have something be representational of an eye, a body, or, you know, whatever, and like have like kind of like the animation type of skill set to like put to like characters and stuff. It's like, that's incredible. Like, you, because it's still us, it's still expression, it's still like gesture and all that stuff. You can still get that damn emotion from it. So I love that. And like that dragon one on your page, I love that so much. So I'm just like I'm just like flipping through. I'm like, what's gonna happen next? And I'm like, oh, the dragons dream of her too. I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, sometimes when I write, I'm like, got him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the letter to your younger self one, that got me.
Yeah.
That got me.
Yeah, you know, Corey, you were talking about like talent, and I really don't even believe in talent. I think, yeah. I think it's more like love of a thing. And I'm just more in love with comics than a lot of other people are. So then I can spend 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week making them. And it's not like, no one ever was like, Jackie, you are talented. Like growing up, like it was just like, yeah. I just drew cows for like 15 years, and then I drew eggs and made egg puns, and then I did like an alphabet of animals, and then I did fat animals with funny hats, and then I did a goat doing yoga like, yeah, 20 different times, and people were just like, okay. And then it's like, yeah, I'm just in love with this. And
yeah,
that's, you know, and some people are in love with like photorealism, and I'm like, okay, yeah, wow, yeah, look at that wine glass, that's crazy.
You guys are picking right up, can't you? You're like, oh no, I can't, I'll just go to
those pomegranate seeds, get out of town.
Yeah, but it's weird that like it almost seems like, oh my God, these two things can't exist in the same, they can't both be art. And it's just like, why not? Just let it be. Like, it's fine. Like, you know, if you want to do that, do that. If you want to do that, do that. Like, it's, I don't know. It's just, it's, well, weird, yeah, that people think that way. Yeah.
And I mean, I do feel like my art has a certain place. Like, I've gotten rejected from every single like Foundation of the Arts grant that is known to man, because it's like not ballet or something, yeah, you know? And yeah, but I thought about it one day and I was like, it's like, everything's like a velvet cushion, and then mine is like a whoopee cushion, and then I'm like, well, you know, who's having more fun? Exactly.
You feel me?
Exactly.
You're just afraid of all this, you know, too much, yeah, excitement in
oh yeah,
that's like just art in general. There'll be different spheres of it, but I'm happy to occupy a lot. Most people tell me like, oh, I keep your book in my bathroom, and I'm like, that's sacred time, I appreciate it.
It's true.
It is, it actually, it really is though, for real. No, but yeah, it's yeah, it's just like, it's a weird thing that like, it shouldn't, like this shouldn't be a thing, like just let them exist the way the way it would be. But yeah, it shows that you're having more fun with it. Like, you know, you could be like, I'm gonna do a very super realistic dragon and like super realistic girl, but it wouldn't have that same like that feeling that I get inside when I'm like, oh, look at them. Like, they're all having a good time together. Like, it's just like, you put a smile on my face. Like, I like that, you know? Like, it wouldn't have that same effect. So I think that's important that, like you said, you're in love with it. And it shows that you're in love with it, you know? So that.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, but... I don't know. You're gonna say something. Sorry,
Kirk. Yeah, no. If people wanted to find, like, where people want to find you and buy the book and stuff like that, where can they do those things?
Oh, I'm most active on Instagram at Underpants and Overbites, and you can buy the book. You could probably just look up "Vulnerability is My Superpower," or if you go to underpantsandoverbites.com, you can buy it through my shop, and I'll doodle in it for you for a fee. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's worth.
But wait, it's still an option. I
like it. And I'm also on Patreon if you want to get extra comics every week. So,
hell yeah,
tasty cool. stuff.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for doing this. It's been super fun to talk to you.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Oh, thank you. This is great.
Yeah, and I mean, if you ever, you know, want to talk to us again or come on and talk about whatever, basically, let us know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The great outdoors.
Where can I find your stuff? Is it in the show notes?
It is not. It will be eventually in the show notes.
Oh, my God.
See, you're way more professional than we are.
Oh, God.
Hold on. I got to write down the phrase show notes.
Notes. I was like, oh, my God, I've heard that before. I'm like, we don't have any.
Whoops.
I was looking at you.
No, you can find us on Instagram or the scheme at Schemes Come True Network. And then we also have a Patreon, patreon.com/schemescometrue.
Yes, we do.
Keeping our lights on and Corey and donuts and all those things. He's got an expensive habit that we have to feed. So
I really do. I really do. Can't stop, won't stop. Hey. I will though. But actually, I've been really good. I have not had that many donuts as some of you guys might think. So
this week?
Well, actually, I had pretty much that whole box of donut holes. So that was at least like probably counts like two or three. Now, remember donut holes. So six donut holes equal at least one donut or maybe two donuts. I forgot what my bullshit math was again.
That's how they get you.
Eat
the little ones.
Yeah, they're bite size. Like I can just, they're just delicious little treats that everyone should have, but mostly just me. So, yes, but yeah. All right, I'm too foolish. Kirk, take us out of here, man. Come on.
Well, thank you again to our guest Jackie of at Underpants and Overbites.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're infecting me. You've infected my brain, Corey.
I won't look at
seriously, you. Thank you so much for doing this and taking the time out of your schedule to
from
planning island camp vacations island and such things. Yeah.
Well, I love the woods and I love people. So that's I get to meet some humans and hang out, which has been great.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah. Real for real.
Not to make it weird, you know.
It's fine. Yeah. I was gonna take it weird, but now I'm like.
Oh, now it's weird. Oh man, I'm gonna wake up all night and be
That's the most fun. That's like the best part of the show, I think. Honestly, is meeting people. Like, it's cool to hear about people's experiences and to kind of learn and from them. But it's fun meeting people and hearing what they're passionate about.
Oh, for sure.
So, thanks for being a part of that.
My pleasure. I think that's what people say.
Now you made it weird, Corey.
I did. I'm sorry. Let's restart. Hi, my name is Corey.
All right, people. We'll see you
every time
next week. Oh, my God.